Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Here to Listen podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Durge. Today, I'm joined by Peter Lee, also known as Munan. On debut album Tranquility, Munan's unique indie pop surf rock sound takes listeners on a trip that they won't soon forget. Joining us all the way from South Korea, please welcome to the show, Munan. Hi.
Hey. Woo.
How's it going?
Hey, woo.
I like that. I was telling you before we started, I love that shirt.
Oh, thank you. This is first time doing like a video interview, but I was trying to get something that was more colorful, so hopefully this works.
This is perfect, and thank you for coming on the show and this being your first video interview. I'm sure there's more to come, but yeah, I discovered your music and I was like, I really want to see if you come on. So thank you for being so open to it. And I'd love to start off, you know, by talking about your sound because it really is so unique. I know you've been compared to Tame Impala. I love Tame Impala and Kevin Parker. But I personally, I do hear some Glass Animals mixed with Foster the People and Portugal the Man. That's just my personal take on it, but I would love to know, you know, how you would describe your sound to someone who's never heard your music before.
Well, I guess the artist that you've mentioned is it's quite the vibe is quite similar. Hey, but yeah. I guess where I come from, because I'm from Australia, but I've done most of my music in Korea. And I started off producing for other artists, like K-pop and stuff like that. And from there, I learned how to design sound or produce sounds, or I guess like compose different styles of genres for K-pop, right? And after I did that for like a couple of years, I've decided to do something on my own. And I started off doing more like disco, house, kind of more deep kind of stuff. Because that felt kind of, that's all I was doing. I was just at the studio, computer and a keyboard, and it's very like a very like a 21st century producer, I guess you could say that. And I was kind of getting bored of that, and back when I was in Australia, I used to listen to a lot of rock, and my dad used to love rock as well, and we used to listen to a lot of rock. And I kind of went back to what I used to listen to, and I realized what I liked. You know, I love producing music for other artists, but I started music because I love that kind of sound, the rock, that energy that it has, the realness in some ways. And that's when I started delving into like live recordings, and like more live instruments, I guess. And I, after like feeling around, during that time, the hot artists were, I guess you could say, like Glass Animals, Mac DeMarco. I love Mac DeMarco, Toro Imoy, and Tame Impala. I'm a huge fan of like psychedelic music and indie music around the world. Mm-hmm. And I thought it'll be fun to not go too deep, too psychedelic, but kind of have this quirky funness, where it doesn't become too uncomfortable for just every listeners, because that's what kind of K-pop is. It's kind of for everybody. So I try to mix it together, and and this is how it became, I guess.
Wow. Yeah. No, it really is such a nice blend of the different styles. And you mentioned working in, you know, the K-pop space. What was that? What was that like?
Oh, well, I came to Korea about 9 years ago to start. Like, I wanted to do something outside of Australia. And I got here and At first, I didn't know what a producer was, I guess. I just wanted to make songs, and wanted to make money out of making songs. And I guess from meeting people and other artists and producers and writers, I started collaborating a lot. And that's how I used to get these like, oh, do you want to write this? Do you want to write kind of this music? These idol group or this label is looking for these kind of songs. Can you try writing this? And every time I write, it's like totally different genres, right? Once it could be hip hop, and then it could be EDM, and it could be pop, it could be R&B, or it can be like 90s ballads. And so I was mostly like ex learning how to write different songs, I guess. It was fun, collaborating with a lot of other artists or other writers and producers. You get to learn a lot. I think that's how I really learned how to write music and produce. And I have written for a couple of Korean artists in Korea. I still do, but not as much as before. But right now, I'm more focused on my own project. But yeah, it was a learning process for me to come where I am right now, I guess. It was like a process of finding what I wanted to do with music. A that's the best way to put it.
And that process has led you to here. And when you're writing for other people, obviously you're putting your creativity into that. Is there ever a time where you write a song and you're giving it to another artist, but you're really like, oh, I really want to keep this one for myself?
Oh yeah, no, it started off being like that. I write these songs or tracks and be like, wow, this sounds great. And I always had this insecurity of like, oh, my tracks or my production won't really sell to the big artists in K-pop.
Oh.
There's like a niche, like a formula. I wouldn't say formula. It sounds like it's math. It's a niche, like sound and the structure that K-pop works around with. And you got to follow those rules, and it's a lot of edits, re-edits, rewrites, reproducing, re-recording. It's a whole process. And sometimes the reason why I started doing my own projects is I make an idea or a demo, and I just be like, oh wait, this is good. Nobody can sing this in Korea. This won't fit any, like, it won't sell to BTS or whatever. So I'll just like put this away, and I'll just make something more that sells to the market, right? And then that's how I had all this bunch of demos, and I chose some of them to be mine, or maybe just keep it for somebody else and stuff like that. Maybe for my friend, and yeah, it's always this like filtering, like this could sell, this won't sell. Maybe my friend. This won't, my friends won't sing this. Nobody would sing this. Okay, that's mine then.
How did that name come about? I'm just curious.
Munan. So my Korean name is Munhwan with an HHW.
Oh.
But a lot of people, when you say it really when you say it really fast, it becomes Munan. Like Munhwan, Munhan, Munan, 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 Munan. And a lot of my closest friends used to just call me Munan, 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 or Peter. But Peter was just so average, like a very normal name. So I went with Munan. But the actual term for Munan in Korean, it means like very peaceful, simple, very like average, easygoing. And I thought that kind of suited my personality because I used to take everything very seriously, and I've realized I make better music when I'm just like, whatever, let's just do it, kind of. Yeah, and the music kind of feels like that, kind of just like easygoing. Some songs can be like a little bit intense, but I try to be like a very simple track, not like jazz or stuff like that, I guess. Yeah, just like a
Yeah,
vibe.
it is a vibe. It's very, it is definitely a vibe. It's very easy listening.
I actually never wanted to be a musician. Hey, never
Oh.
really. Yeah, never was interested. I was more like, oh, software engineering sounds fun, like computer science and stuff like that. But my first instrument was a violin, as like a typical Asian kid. It's a classical instrument. But I had it. My violin teacher always pushed me to do something with music because she thought I was pretty good at it. So my teacher, she forced my parents to not give up on music, I guess. And then I was like, you know what, maybe I'll give it a go. Until like the entrance of university, I wasn't gonna go to school of music, but my teacher convinced me to do it, and I went into university for music for a bit, which was fun. I think it was not what I wanted, obviously. And then like about 2 years in, I was like, this ain't it. I didn't want to do classical music. If I was going to do music, I was going to do, rock music or something. Or edit. I'm not saying classical music doesn't have energy, but I was more interested in writing music, and for like not classical music, but like writing music in this 21st century genres of music. So,
Yeah.
yeah. So, and then that's when I came to Korea 9 years ago. Yeah.
Wow, yeah, almost a decade
Yeah.
now, and you've been doing it full time, right?
At first I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to record music. I didn't know how to write music. So I was like figuring out this and that. And I think it was like 6 years ago, 6, 5 years ago, when that's when I've really started writing and using a computer to write music. I was for to me th this was foreign, like writing music on a computer. Until 6 years
Wow.
ago. Yeah, I thought back then I was like, oh, people still record, you gotta go to the studio and you gotta record, but apparently you can do everything on the computer. And nobody told me this until like 6, 7 years ago. I was like, what, you can do it on the computer? So
I definitely loved the EP.
oh.
So yeah, 'cause I had discovered Once Upon a Time, and then, that's what really got me into your music, and I know that's on the EP, and the whole flow of it really, really is great. And it makes me wonder what would you want listeners listening to Tranquility to feel after listening to it? What's that feeling that you want them to come away with?
Well, what I would feel and what the artists would what other the audience would feel would be so different, because if starting off with the artwork, people say they see different things. I thought it's just like a very abstract art, because I painted it and be like, oh, you know, this is cool colors, this is great. But my friend's like, oh, I see the ocean, I see a volcano, I see the space, earth, all kind of different things. And I kind of went with that. For me, the artwork and the music felt like kind of like starting off peaceful, getting intense, and then becoming calm again. Like how someone goes through emotions, and how you're feeling, the artwork can also look very different in the to someone's perspective. So I want people to start listening from the from track one to track five. It starts a very chill, and then it kind of gets a bit intense, goes into different areas, and then it ends off kind of goofy with Miss. Oh, that's a fun song. And because like I think it's like start sometimes we take it too seriously. I know a lot of my friends who take everything too literal or like too serious. And I think Mr. Taxi Driver, it's so quirky and funny that, it just kind of, hey, it's everybody's silly, everybody gets into trouble. Everybody goes through stuff, It'll just be fine.
That song, Mr. Taxi Driver, it feels to me like it has a little bit of a Beatles influence.
Yeah, Beatles, I guess. Actually, the first reference was Thundercat.
Oh yeah.
Dragon Ball Durag. That was such a great song. And the lyric, the story is so funny, and I wanted to kind of make it a fun song to end off the night, end off the EP. And it's about going out and being like so drunk or something, and the only person you can rely on is a taxi driver to get you home. So it's a fun little story.
Yeah, literally the taxi driver, ride share driver just kind of becomes, your therapist at that point.
I've had times where the taxi driver is just talking to me about his life and how's my life going, it's a story where some people can relate to, like, oh man, I remember, at 3 a.m. this taxi driver got me home, and thank goodness I had this taxi driver get me home, or like this taxi driver was so funny, or this taxi driver had really great taste in music and we chat, but at that moment, the only way home is the taxi driver, to your safe little area,
Yeah.
night out or something.
And another song that I love, it's a previous release of yours, Freak Like Me.
Freak Like Me is a good song, yeah.
It's a great song. So I'll be fine just. It's a very vulnerable song too.
Oh man, how do I explain it? It's a I'll me my I'm very clueless to like certain situations in social interactions, I guess. And everyone used to say, my friends, like, oh my God, you're so clueless. How do you not know that? Oh man, how you're so clueless. How did you not know that girl was interested in you? Or how did you not know that this guy wanted to work with you? Or like you had the chance to like work with this person, et cetera, et cetera. And but in my mind, I kind of wanted to be with this person, or I kind of had interest in this person, but I never made the first move. And it was like, oh man, in my head, I'm dreaming of like this person that will go save the princess, or like go make her fall in love with me in a way. But it's like I can't do it to face to face. So you make this like story up in your head kind of thing. And I think that's how I got the gist of the lyrics, I guess. It's like a shout out to all the people that are similar to me. Like, it's okay if you're weird or freak. Everybody, there was someone out there who would still love you and
Yeah.
be your best friend ever, even though you're not normal or something. I don't know. But yeah, that's
100%.
so I Freak Like Me was a I wrote it with my friend Sterling, and he knows me very well, and he helped me with the whole story of it. So yeah.
Yeah, and once you lean into that, being your authentic self, even if that may come across as a little bit weird compared to, the general population, you really do find your people, right? You really do start connecting with those people that understand you, rather than trying to fit in a box and then you have all these people around you that you don't actually really feel like a genuine connection with them,
Yeah,
right?
100%. When I was, I think a few years ago, I tried so hard to fit in, to a community or a group, and I used to dress more casually that fits this group, or hairstyle as well. I never had long hair. It was always like always short. Never wore short, like colorful shirts like this, because it stands out too much in public, I guess. Yeah, it opened me up slowly that even if I'm If I don't have to try to be in that group if I don't like what, why am I trying to be in that group and I don't even like it, and then you just end up with people that just naturally just come together and you just be friends with them and hang out with them, you share with them, and they are as weird and funky and fun as you are.
And what does it mean to you to be weird?
Oh, okay. My way of saying weird is I'm very antisocial. I when there's like a group of friends, I always say the opposite of what other people agree with, or I just zone out and just don't listen to them. I guess, or I make jokes that are just, I guess, with my best friends, a bit too out of the world, like, oh, what if it's like this? I when I'm with my friends, I always make up these scenarios that can never happen, but to them, me thinking in this situation and making up this story, or like, what ifs, they go, oh my God, you're crazy, or something like, you're so funny, or there's no one in the world that would think like that in this kind of scenario. But I guess that's why. I don't say I would be weird, just a bit funky, I guess. Quirky. Quirky is the word. Quirky.
Quirky, funky, quirky. That's great, right? It's better than being boring.
Yeah, I think I always think I'm boring, but my friends, they still hang out with me, so I guess I'm not boring.
I wanted to talk about another track off of the EP called Love Me. All about unrequited love and how far you'll go to get a woman's attention. And I feel like we've all been there, right? Where we're vying for this person's attention and love. So I'm curious to know the story behind that.
This one I also wrote with Sterling, who helped me write Freak Like Me, and he knows that I'm kind of like kind of nerdy, and he knows the niche and the stories that I like to tell. And we all, I think Love Me is a story of like a person, like an underdog in this situation. And the main story I got was from my friend who in Korea, who went so far to be with this person, and he went so far. I mean, unfortunately it didn't work out, but he used to tell me, oh man, we did this, we did this, we did this, and I'm trying really hard because I really want to be with that person. And then I was like, oh man, yeah, go for it, good luck. But then in my back of my head, I didn't tell him, like, oh man, I feel you're doing too much, hey, so I kind of felt like this story of like this underdog. There's this like this super popular girl, everybody likes her, she's super famous with popular with everybody, and there's this group of guys, one guy who's trying to really get her love or like get her attention in some ways. And he would go out of his way, like stuff that he can't afford, or styles, fashion, even like cutting his hair to the way that person would might like, working out to be more fit and look more better, going all the way for that person to love me,
On a somewhat unrelated note, I would love to know, what is a reel-to-reel machine?
Oh, the reel-to-reel tape machine. So
Yeah.
it's, oh man, I wish I can kind of show it to you. It's gotta turn my camera around. But it's an old recording machine back before digital.
Will the
Like
camera turn around, or is it? I would love to see it. Oh, wow. That's cool. So what do you use that for?
I use it for mainly my drum parts and bass.
Okay.
So it's So back, before digital recording, everybody used to record it onto a tape machine. And I was curious, because I've been born in the digital era. I was curious how people used to record songs.
Yeah.
Because for us now, it's so simple, right? You just click a button and, Bob's your uncle. But this back then, you need to have a tape, and you got to run it through the machine. And you got to set up all the mics and everything. You got to make sure all the volume and everything's all right. And you got to record it. And you only get one take on these tapes, or you got to delete the tape and going to re-record it. So, but there's the reason why I started using the tape for some of my songs is because there's a certain sound, a certain sound to it, right? The tape. Saturations, the volumes, the warmth of it, of a tape, because it's full analog, right? And I always was curious about analog music and how people used to record songs back in the days. So what I used to do is get drums or bass, and then I would reroute it into my tape machine and roll and record it onto tape and then bring it back out. And for the drums, for a freak like me, I don't actually all the drums for this EP was through the tape, I guess.
Wow.
It's just it's some people I don't know how to explain it. Hey, there must be a better explanation online, but it's basically just another way of sound designing
Yeah.
production.
Wow, I'm gonna listen to the EP with new ears now, like listening for those drums, and that's really cool. You can tell that you have a love for it.
Yeah, there's a certain punch and like color to it. I don't know how to explain it, but it just sounds like it could be nothing, to be honest. But it just sounds a bit better.
I noticed on your social media you talk in third person a lot, right? Munan wants this, or Munan is doing this. Why is that?
It's funny. I always thought it was funny to introduce myself as a third person.
Okay.
This Munan, this concept of Munan and project is a part of me, right? On social media and my music. It's not really Peter or me. It's just like a part of my being that's being portrayed on into the world, right? And so Munan is a part of me. So it's like, hey, this guy, this Munan guy is pretty cool. His music's great. So like his stuff, but me being Peter, I'm not Munan, kind of thing in real life. Yeah. And it's funny when this Munan is a third person that I can tell people and be like, oh, I know this guy called Munan, his music's great. And be like, oh really? And then I show them the my social media and it's like, wait, you're Muna. I'm like, yeah, that's me. It's just like this to introduce myself, I guess,
Yeah.
So
I
that's what
wonder if that makes it a bit easier too. Like if you describe yourself as a shy person, it's almost like a separate character in a way.
Yeah, it's a totally different character. Even in the music videos and in the clips, I go through this story, right, from
Yeah.
So Taxi Driver, Love Me, and Once Upon a Time, and it's this like this persona, this character, which I referenced Mr. Bean a lot actually.
Yeah.
Like doesn't talk, but his actions show like what kind of person he is.
All right, so
It's
my final question for you is something that I ask all of my guests that come on the show, and that is, if you had a movie or an autobiography written about your life, what would it be called?
Oh, what would it be called? Oh, his average. He's a normal guy. Oh, he's just a normal guy. I don't know, maybe. Oh, he's a normal guy. I don't know. Oh, Isaac, how to be normal and have fun.
Ooh, I like that.
How to be just an average guy but have a fun life. That's good.
I mean, I like it, but you also seem so much more than average to me, right? Like you play all these instruments, you create this great art. I think you got to give yourself a little more credit.
I should, but I love I sometimes I see people more and more be more go outside of themselves to do something in life. And it's better it's sometimes it's better to be normal and boring, and that's kind of that's also fun too. Everyone's like going, oh, what can be more fun, more fun, more fun, more fun? And they try to find what's more fun, and they never realize actually just having a normal day, doing nothing is also very fun to do.
Oh yeah. I love those days. I love those days.
Even like you said, I know this, yeah, I do most of the production and stuff, but outside of that, I'm just like a normal dude. Like a lot of my friends, when or new people I meet, they think I'm this like really like fascinating, like cool, amazing guy that makes music. Oh man, I bet he has like really amazing, famous musicians, friend, music like muso friends and stuff. Like, but actually, no, I don't. Outside of making music, I don't have a lot of like a lot of musician friends or a lot of like great friends. All my friends are also very casual people, because I'm just because I'm a musician, I don't go out every week meeting other musicians and having fun. It's pretty normal,
Well, thanks for sharing that, and thanks for, sharing your journey, sharing your story with me and also the listeners and the viewers. And I think that you're going to continue to connect with a lot of people that can relate to just feeling like another guy or a normal person or whatever it may be, but inside they have that light. And I'm so happy to see that you're sharing that light and your creativity with the world. And with this EP, Tranquility, it's great. I encourage everyone to listen. It's out now. It's on streaming. Check it out. And Munan, thank you for coming on the show and sharing more today.
Oh no, thanks for having me. I was actually quite surprised to have the chance to do something like this. I thought this kind of interview stuff would come much, much later, but this was great, and thank you so much for having me. Thank you so much. Bye.